on this Monday, September 17th, sunny and hot, a high today of 89. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a low of 65. Things cool off tomorrow. Tuesday, partly sunny and warm, 30% chance of rain. Tomorrow's high only 78. This morning, wind is calm. Humidity still high at 91%. Sunny, 71 degrees across the board. Racine, Kenosha, Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. Coming up on 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Mr. Kavanaugh's nomination.
Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships or transfers is available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. Support for WGTD also comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information is available at jackandrea.com. And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and what a lovely way to begin the week than with the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht, making his way across the hall for his monthly visit to the program. Mr. President, we welcome you back to the program.
Good morning, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you here. It's a busy time for Gateway, especially with the start of the fall semester. When did that get underway officially?
You know, can you believe this is the start of our third week already?
Wow.
And it just flies by. Every day I wake up and go like, you know, it's been so beautiful out that you have to really appreciate the nice weather, and it just makes the time go so fast. I'm so proud of our staff and our team that has really created a really positive environment for the start of the fall semester, and we're going to be able to talk a little bit about that, but I just want to thank all of the volunteers for being available during our Gateway Days, which is an onboarding orientation for new students, for those that worked so hard to get our facilities ready to make sure that they were equipped properly, and a very welcoming and engaging experience for our students. Then, of course, for our faculty who had all come back. We had a terrific faculty in-service week, and we were able to talk about some new opportunities to help ensure that our students are successful here at Gateway.
Very good. I know that one thing that adds to the general excitement is the fact that Gateway is offering some new programs that you're very excited about.
Yes, just when you think you've figured it all out, we go ahead and add new programs. And that's actually part of our process. We do an evaluation of all programs every year. We invest in those programs that need additional support, and we add new programs where our local economy is changing. So, for an example, this fall, a couple of weeks ago, we launched our first industrial Internet of Things, IIoT, which is a part of our advanced manufacturing program, while at the same time we're building out a new cybersecurity program, a new industrial data analytics program, and a new supply chain management program. So we will see more changes going forward based on this development of Foxconn and other great companies that are helping us to see the automation and robotics world a little clearer. We're also getting ready for a terrific ribbon cutting, which will happen in a few days here for our, I call it High Performance Engine Program. It's our partnership with BRP. It's Evinrude E-Tech engines. It's jet skis and snowmobiles and four-wheelers, and it's really, really an exciting program. It's located on our Racine campus. Perfect venue for it. We built out a new lab, and BRP donated a lot of equipment, so it's a really cool space for students, and we're already doing training in there. There's a huge need for technicians to repair boats, and of course, they're so advanced today that you have to have a skill set behind you in order to make that happen, and as we watch all of the, I think, the toys that we all like as adults, jet skis and four-wheelers and things, and we need more technicians to help support all of that. And then we're also able this semester to expand our barber cosmetology program in a great partnership with Andes Corporation. We have three barber cosmetology programs already on campus, one in Kenosha, one on Racine, and then we have an apprenticeship program. So this will be our fourth, and we have a new storefront in Burlington on Main Street in which we're adding a new program so that we have students that will actually have an on-site shop, if you will, and they'll be able to begin to deliver services in downtown Burlington. So Gateway continues to grow. We continue to learn more about our community and add new programs and update the ones that we already had that were working so well.
Excellent. For all that keeps you busy here, you're always on the road, and I know you're just back from something called the National Career Summit.
I was really excited to be invited to this. This is the first event that's ever been held. There were about 160 organizations that were there, and Gateway was featured, so I had a chance to speak at the event. And following my presentation was Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, and if you've heard her speak, she has a lot of energy, so I had a bar to set there, right? So we're really fortunate because we have a terrific initiative called Career Pathways, which helps build a transition from high school to college and then from 2-year to 4-year and all the different elements that are needed in order to ensure that students are successful. So support services, looking at how do we take credit for prior learning, maybe even credit reduction for some of our programs, and really highlight what are the systems that can help ensure that students that want to go on to college can be successful. And I was really proud to represent Gateway at that event, and I know our team back here was working diligently to make sure all those ideas are being fully implemented.
Wonderful. You're about to leave for Washington, D.C. again.
Turn right around and go back. Yeah, tomorrow, actually. We have maybe about five of us going out tomorrow. Gateway was selected as one of four colleges or universities, so all institutions of higher education. Four of us are being recognized for what's called the U.S. Department of Education Green Ribbon Award, and it's due to our efforts and focus on sustainability. So carbon footprint monitoring, reduction in water usage, reduction in utilities, and really ensuring that our students are well aware of their environmental social responsibility as it relates to their technical programming. So just a big shout out to Stephanie Skilba, who leads this effort for us here on campus, and all our facility directors and program leads that are really taking the whole idea of sustainability very seriously and making sure that our programs, our facilities, and our processes here at Gateway are being as efficient as possible.
Wonderful. Very good. Well, I know that this particular topic for today's program is of very deep personal meaning to you, namely the good work of United Way and Gateway's partnership with United Way.
Right. This is actually my, let me think now, 35th year as a partner with United Way.
Wow.
So it started very early. My dad was a big supporter of United Way when I was a young person, so I had a chance to see what that impact might be. And then when I started teaching up in Door County, Kewaunee area, I became a part of the campaign effort there and contributing and kept that going when I went to the Department of Public Instruction and helped chair the campaign for DPI. That was always a lot of fun, trying to figure out what new activities we would do to get people engaged. And then, of course, here at Gateway, serving as the chair of the Kenosha United Way and then of the Racine United Way most recently. And just, I think it's so important because there are so many aspects of our community that, you know, we can take for granted, and we can't. We have to elevate that with our nonprofit organizations to create visibility for our community so that we all understand what impacts we can make either through financial contributions or through volunteerism. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what Gateway does in relationship to our nonprofits and how we can celebrate this special time of the year as we all think about United Way.
Fantastic. We're happy to have two guests with us today. From here at Gateway, Gary Flynn, who is the dean for the Kenosha campus. Great to have you back. It's been too long. And we are welcoming also to the program Tara Panasevich, who is the CEO of Kenosha United Way.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Tara, maybe you could tell us a little bit about where you come from and kind of life's path as it eventually took you to the United Way.
Sure, I would love to. Thank you. First, I'd like to start off by thanking Gateway because you have been an amazing partner for the United Way of Kenosha County over the years. We can't do what we do without your support, so it means the world to us. So thank you very much. As far as I'm concerned, I am a lifelong resident of Kenosha County. Hmm. I went to school at Holy Rosary for elementary school and then went on to St. Joseph High School. So I have this is my community, and I am very vested in its future and the success that we see. I'm one that, you know, years ago when I was a child would drive down Green Bay Road and remember it being undeveloped. And now, flash forward years later, go by and tell my daughter, remember? Well, you don't, but I do, that there was absolutely nothing here when I was a kid. And it's different from what she sees now with all the development. So it's a very exciting time for our community, and I'm very excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, you know, it just reminds me, that's why it's so important, United Way, other organizations, because that time does change really fast, doesn't it? And you're like, I look at the development since I've been here, and it's only been 15 years, and it's completely different than when we first took a look at this area, and I'm so excited about what it will be going forward in the future, too, for young people, and that's one of the unique aspects of Gateway. We get to kind of visually see the changes that are taking place over time, and that's, I mentioned some of the new programs directly resulting in the types of jobs and what the economy looks like.
Wonderful. So, Tara, when did you get to United Way, and how did that happen?
I have been with the United Way of Kenosha County for a year and a half. Prior to that, I spent about 20 years in banking, so in the financial service industry. I started here in Kenosha, of course, but my path of community contribution led me to Johnson Financial Group in Racine, and I spent 14 years of my career there. I had the pleasure of starting when Sam Johnson was still alive, and he was incredibly vested in the community, and I would see him in the hallway every day when I was at work, and he really walked the talk. And that is when I started really getting involved in the Racine community, because that was a big part of my job, and he supported that immensely. And I think I just went a little overboard because, you know, I started, you know, me like Brian, sitting on seven boards and running about 5-6 fundraisers over time. And I thought to myself, I was really passionate, and I found my passion. And I really wanted to make a difference in our community, and thought to myself, what organization can I be a part of that's going to expand my reach so I know that I'm touching and impacting as many people as I possibly can? And that organization was United Way of Kenosha County. So I waited until the opportunity arose for the CEO. I made sure that I got as much experience as I possibly could as far as education is concerned. That would help me and boost me to be a front runner for that position. And fortunately, I got it. Now I'm able to serve my Kenosha community, a place where I grew up and have a vested interest in. So it's pretty exciting.
And how lucky are we in our community, because Tara's just done a remarkable job in a short time, a year and a half, to really continue to engage our community, more volunteers than we've ever had before, and just greater awareness by the corporate philanthropy, giving the opportunities that it makes within our community as far as helping people and events that are always planned and new events that are being planned for the future. And I guess I didn't realize with the Johnson Financial Group, and because I happen to know the Johnson family was instrumental in actually creating what was at that time called the Community Chest, now the United Way. This is a century worth of family commitment to this whole initiative. And so it's really great that you're able to kind of experience that firsthand. And I think it's one of those things that once it gets in your, you know, your philosophy or your ethos, you just never let it go, right?
Never.
Very good. Well, we're glad to have you here. And Gary Flynn, it's great to welcome you back here. Let's get the capsule biography from you, first of all, and then we'll talk a little bit about what you do as dean. But all first of all, tell us where you're from. And
where I'm from. So originally I'm from Fond du Lac. I'm a transplant here for about the last 17 years. I'm a man of few words. I'm a librarian by degree. So I've been working at Gateway for 17 years. I manage the libraries here at Gateway Technical College. And over the last 5 years, I've been able to have the capacity of being the Dean of Campus Affairs for the Kenosha campus.
So when you were in high school, were you a quiet bookworm who lived in the library?
No, I was not. So my father actually was the driver for the bookmobile of the Fond du Lac Public Library. And I happened to, my first job ever was being the lawn care specialist, I'll call it, for the director of the Fond du Lac Public Library. So a little bit of a connection there. I still don't like to read just short articles, but there's always movies about things that that books are written about.
Right. Very good.
So this is an interesting sideline fact. Gary and I graduated from the same high school.
Oh, is that right?
To the same junior high school.
Same junior high school, too. And I graduated a little bit earlier, so I didn't know him all that well there. But now that I reflect on it, the library lawns were very well kept. So you did a great job with all of that.
Well, very nice. So tell us a little bit about what is involved in the title of Dean of the Kenosha campus.
So a lot of the overall management of the campus to really create an environment that's conducive to learning for our students. So maintaining a culture on campus, making sure it's really welcoming to the community, because one of the resources at the college is the library, and the library is open to the adult members of our community. I work with facilities and faculty and staff to ensure that they really have what they need in the classroom, from making sure that all the tables and chairs are there to making sure we have equipment and things that help to run the programs. I also help to work on the non-academic student needs. So a lot of our students come with a variety of needs, but making sure they're able to navigate their educational experience here at Gateway. I serve on our behavioral intervention team, the CARE team here at Gateway, to make sure the students and employees are getting connected with the services they need in the community.
And I just have to add, if our listeners have been on the Kenosha campus lately, you've seen a huge transformation in the environment itself, the way it looks, the new program options, the new Kennel Protective Services Center, the new Academic Support Center, the new Student Services Center, all of the enhancements at the college that Gary's worked so hard to make sure that they're not only conducive to student learning, but also to making sure that our staff have the resources needed in order to support our students. So he's done a terrific job on the Kenosha campus.
Very good. So what brings you here today, however, is something to do with the United Way, I assume.
Yes, so one of the additional responsibilities with the Dean of Campus Affairs is we get to connect with community organizations. We help to serve on local boards and really get involved. So each Dean of Campus Affairs is involved with our United Way campaign. The chairship of that goes and rotates from location to location. This year it happens to be Sandine's Jennings' turn. However, we're all involved with this. It is a three-county effort. And not only do we cooperate, but the United Way organizations within those communities also cooperate.
Fantastic. For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. With us is Gary Flynn, who is dean for the Kenosha campus of Gateway. And with us as well, Tara Panasevich, who is CEO of the Kenosha chapter of the United Way. And United Way is front and center of today's conversation. Tara, although I think just about everybody on the planet has heard the name United Way, that doesn't mean that everybody listening to our program today necessarily understands really what the United Way is all about, or maybe they only understand it in kind of a vague sort of way. Maybe you could sketch for us kind of a history of the organization and why it was created in the first place and the purpose that it serves.
Absolutely. So this is a very special year for United Way of Kenosha County. We're celebrating our 95th year in the community. And we're very, very excited about that. So back in 1923, there was about eight organizations that got together in Kenosha County, some of them being the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, St. Catherine's Hospital, Kenosha Memorial Hospital, the Carmelite Sisters, all got together to form the Community Chest. And that Community Chest would serve as a general fund to benefit the entire community. Now, over time, that name changed from the Community Chest to a number of different things. Back in 1973, the board of directors at the time renamed it to United Way of Kenosha County. And we operate now on the national level, with the mission being the health, education, and financial stability. So that's when it changed, back in 1973.
So if I understand correctly, it began as something kind of homegrown that's very much like the United Way, and eventually merged with this larger national organization called United Way.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Do you know anything about how long United Way has been around before we became involved with it locally?
I'm actually not exactly sure on that question.
It's been around a while,
I know.
Yeah.
So.
This last year, Racine celebrated their 100th anniversary of United Way. So, yeah, it's been over 100 years. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because Gateway is 107 years old. So around the same time, all these organizations and all these, you know, needs in the community was changing. And you needed a college like Gateway at the time. You needed to collaborate and develop nonprofit support. And then we're kind of finding ourselves in that same position today, right? So 100 plus years later, communities are changing, job market's changing. How do we generate levels of support for new people coming to our communities?
Yeah. So how strong is the organization from the top down in terms of, does the Kenosha United Way operate just like the Racine United Way, or are you given a certain amount of freedom or leverage in terms of how you want to function?
Every United Way is run differently. Every United Way is run independently. So whereas the United Way of Kenosha County is run by a local board of directors, so is Racine, but we're different in a sense that we might not have the same programs. So for example, United Way of Racine County has, as far as education is concerned, the Imagination Library, which they've run for about over 7 years. That's a program that they run. Right now in Kenosha County, that's a program that I'm trying to get off the ground. So I'm currently in the fundraising aspect for it. So the programs look a little bit differently. Also, a lot of the ways that you can donate, that looks a little differently. But at the core, we're the same. And that means that we fight, every United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in the community.
And I would say, likewise, Kenosha has been very successful in what's called VITA, and it's a tax support system. And, and Racine has sort of modeled their VITA program after Kenosha, so the two communities have shared a lot of best practices over the years.
And so is that common with various chapters of the United Way, or do they tend to kind of operate unto themselves? I mean, how much cooperation and coordination tends to happen between various United Way organizations?
There is a lot of collaboration amongst the United Way network. We in Wisconsin have a United Way of Wisconsin chapter as well, and they bring us together to work on common goals for the future, namely one, the Alice report that just came out, and 211 Impact. 211 Impact is a crisis service number where anyone operating in the communities that United Way funds can call and receive assistance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if a family finds themselves looking for or in need of shelter, rent assistance, food, you can call simply 211 and be connected to local resources. And that is here in Racine and Kenosha County. That is a United Way Wisconsin effort. So we all, as a state, collaborate on a number of different issues.
Fantastic. So Gary Flynn, tell us a little bit about the background of Gateway's heavy involvement in the United Way. And I'm sure it goes deeper than President Albrecht's ardent support of it. Tell us what you can about what that support looks like and why the United Way is such an important mission for Gateway.
Well, so the focus on the education, financial stability, and health of people is really what Gateway is all about as well. Education and financial stability. We train people for careers. So those connections are really just natural. But they work with a lot of organizations that also support our mission. So like Kenosha Literacy Council and other organizations within the community that help to get students to a standard where they're ready to go to college. We're happy to have them.
So I think another key aspect too is our student population. Many of our students can always use support in child care needs, food stability. There's all types of different ways that our students can use support. And by creating this partnership, we're able to not only generate awareness of the services that are available in our community, we hold special events on campus where all the different United Way partners are able to come and visit and, you know, be present so that our students know where those resources are, including our career advisors and our counselors, so that we can assist the support for students, not only academically, but also the other needs they might have in our community.
Very good. So some of what United Way does folds very directly into the experience of students here.
Absolutely. And I think also our students tend to be really giving. So We have over 10,000 hours a year in what we call service learning. So programs are able to give back. They hold special events. And you see it here on campus. We might have a mitten drive or some other special event that's taking place. And all of that is to help our students understand they're going to have great jobs and have levels of responsibility in our community. But another part of that is also to be conscious of the services that they can provide through volunteerism.
Very good. Tara Panasevich, what are some things going on here in the month of September for Kenosha United Way?
September is a very busy month for us because we had our campaign kickoff at the end of August. So we are out at various businesses throughout the community spreading the word about the good work that United Way does. This week, Thursday, we're having a Dining for Dollars at Mason's Pub and Eatery in partnership with Snap-on. We're going to have a raffle there, and there's some amazing prizes that Snap-on has. So if you are available, stop down to Mason's this Thursday because a percentage of any food bill you might have will go back to United Way of Kenosha County, and then you'd be able to participate in the raffle as well. Another big thing that's happening, we have a deadline on one of our expanding programs, which is the Readers Are Leaders tutoring program. Hmm. So one of the most powerful things that United Way does is in our purpose is to find the critical needs that are in our community. And we do that by forming relationships with the businesses that are in the financial institutions and our education partners in health, education, and financial stability. And about 3 years ago, we found a critical need in our education system with third grade reading proficiency, where our students in Kenosha were not reading at level by the time they got to third grade. Right now, our reading proficiency level is about 45%. So 3 years ago, we were placed, United Way responded by going where we were needed the most, and that was McKinley Elementary School here in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. And United Way recruited and trained about 47 tutors at the time and brought them into McKinley and matched them up with students who needed additional help from what they were getting in the classroom. So this is an addition to assist the teachers with what they're needed. We've done that for 3 years, as I said. The result, the impact of that was every year the students went up 150 reading levels collectively.
Wow.
And what a reading level is students, by the time they are done with kindergarten, by the time they're done with first grade, there's a guideline as to, where they should be reading, and it goes like A, B, C, D, E, F. That's A to B would be one reading level. So we've had one of our biggest success stories this past year was a student went up 13 reading levels by working with his tutor. It is an amazing program, and because of the success and the impact that that's had, we're able to expand this year into, we'll be in four schools. So we'll be in McKinley Still, we'll be in Brass, Wilson, and Forest Park. So because of that expansion, we need four times the tutors. Yes. So we've put out a call for tutors, and last week when I left the office, our goal was 200, and we hit 200 last week.
That's great.
So the Kenosha community, their response to this initiative, their response to this effort has been nothing short of amazing, and I'm so incredibly proud because I know we're going to go past that 200 number. But our deadline for that is next Friday.
Hmm. And it's always an exciting event. The kids, first of all, are super excited to have an adult come in. And I remember last year, I think the orientation session was here at the Madrigano Center, and people had their Dr. Seuss hats on, and they were doing getting ready for to go out and really have fun in the classrooms. And I think it helps to point to the connectedness of these initiatives as well. So like Dolly Parton's Imagination Library is all about making sure that families have books in their homes at the time of birth. So if you're a young family and you have a child, then this program actually sends you a book so you can begin to think about reading literacy. And then, of course, this whole Reading Our Leaders are another way to help address that. Support for schools and teachers is another avenue. So United Way does a lot that collectively makes a huge impact, but we only read about it in articles of one event at a time.
Right, yeah, you think about the whole scope of it, and it's really pretty amazing. And I suppose, Tara, one of the important things for us to say here is that it isn't that United Way is some group of people doing all of these things and you have to sort of get membership in it. I mean, the boots on the ground, so to speak, are really all of us. I mean, basically anybody in the community is welcome to be a part of anything that you were just talking about, correct?
You are absolutely right. It's the collective power of the community to advance the common good. That's really the mission. Mm-hmm. Our volunteers, our donors, our leadership donors, our educators, we are our health, anyone in the financial stability sector, we're all a part of this movement. And you can get involved by advocating. You can get involved by becoming a volunteer. You can becoming by a donor, by helping one of our local nonprofits, because that's another big movement that United Way does, is we have the community fund still, and that helps fund our local nonprofit partners, because it's just not the internal programs that United Way does. It's the money that is raised during the campaign that we can then push out to our nonprofit partners to allow them to continue to do the good work that they do. A lot of what they do depends on the United Way funding, and I really need the community to hear that and understand that it's their reach when they become involved with United Way extends so far out.
And so then, is it a matter of someone just picking up the phone if they want to be part of any of these initiatives, or visiting your website, or what's the most typical mechanism by which someone becomes involved in United Way?
You can definitely call our office, 262-658-4104, or visit our website, KenoshaUnitedWay.org. We have all of our volunteer opportunities and ways you can get involved listed on that website. But when you call, you can talk to one of the ladies in the office, and they will definitely sign you up for something that impact or something that you find very interesting.
Tara, I should say Gary, Tara has been describing the great impact of Gateway's participation, what that impact has been on the United Way in very, very positive ways. How about the other direction? What do you see as the impact on Gateway in being part of the United Way?
Well, it's a great opportunity for the college and our students. It provides some of the community organizations provide opportunities for internships for our students, where it's a win-win situation. Service learning, that is a big focus here at the college. We have Madeline Carrera, who is our person who really coordinates everything in regard to student learning, the service learning projects, and they're able to make those connections through United Way. And really a connection with programs in the community that we're able to refer students to. We have student support counselors on campus that help, again, with those non-academic student needs. And we're really able to connect students to resources within our community. It's a growth opportunity for everybody involved.
I think it was really exciting, too. Like whether it's Readers Are Leaders or a Day of Caring, where groups come together. So it might be a college-wide initiative, might be an employer that has a team, and they all go out and provide this sort of community-based service collectively together. Creates a positive culture and reflection on the organization that you represent. And I'm always so, whether it's, you know, we see it at Earth Day too. We'd have special events and people that are, interested in the environment. But those types of community-based programs where groups of people can come together from an organization really has an effect on the morale, the culture, the engagement of your employees at the job level, right? Because they go back the next day and they're talking about all the great things they did in the community.
Very much so, absolutely. Tara, we hear a lot about these employer campaigns. Just say a quick word about how those work and how important those are.
Those are very important because the monies raised during the employee campaigns gets put into our community impact fund, and the community impact fund directly is able to fund the grants that United Way delivers to our local nonprofits. So the steps involved with that is if an employer or a local business is interested in running a campaign, you can contact the United Way office, and I come out and do a kickoff where I educate the employees of the business about what United Way is, because I really feel like that education is what's going to drive us forward. If the community as a whole really understands what we do and how it impacts the community and how they're a part of it, I think that's something very powerful that's going to bring the campaign forward. So I go and I do a kickoff at the local businesses, and then they do special things, just like Gateway does. Sometimes they'll do bake sales. Sometimes they'll do balloon bust, dining for dollars that Snap-on's doing this week at Mason's. They do special events. But most importantly, it's the education to the employees. And
I kind of like the dining for dollars idea a little better than the dunk tank and the pie in the face one. Although I have tried both of those as well. My theory is do the pie in the face first before you do the dunk tank, and then it all kind of washes
out. Oh, there you go. Speaking as a veteran.
Yes, absolutely.
Gary Flynn, tell us about a couple of the United Way events that have happened here at Gateway that you've had a hand in.
Well, the biggest one is probably the payroll deduction, money that you don't have. If you never have it in the first place, you're not going to miss it. But Jean Fridays are usually really popular around here. Folks will pay $5 to wear jeans on Friday, or we'll give them like a discount on if they do 7 for $30. We have a silent auction of a personalized parking space on campus. And as part of that, they actually get a personalized sign that they're able to keep as a keepsake. So I hang mine in the garage so my wife doesn't take my parking spot. And we've done popcorn sales. Really, like, we kind of encourage more of, like, a percentage of cooperation or a percentage of participation rather than the total dollar amount, because it's we want people to get involved in their community. Even if it's a dollar, it goes a long way.
Right. Yeah. And especially an organization as big as Gateway, when you, even if it's relatively modest amounts, when you have large numbers of employees united like that.
And so Gateway, of course, supports the Kenosha United Way, the Racine United Way, but also United Way of Walworth County. So we have multiple different venues and ways for people to collaborate and participate. And I think what's really unique about it is all of those resources have an opportunity to impact all levels of engagement throughout Southeast Wisconsin. And that's really something I'm very proud of.
Yeah. So, Tara, explain what happens with all of the funds that get raised in all of these kind of special programs and initiatives and so on. Where does that money go? How does it get distributed?
Absolutely. The most impactful way one can donate to United Way is simply to donate to United Way, because when that happens, it's placed in our Community Impact Fund, and that's the fund that is responsible for funding all of the grants. So what happens is every year we have a community full of volunteers. So there's over 15 volunteers that come together. It's called the Community Investment Committee, and they review all of the grants submitted by local nonprofits. Every year, United Way of Kenosha County has received about $400,000 in grant requests, but we're only able to fund 60% of those because the money raised from the campaign is directly responsible for being able to fund those. So that's why it's so incredibly important to donate to your local United Way campaign. So the money raised during the campaign goes into the fund, and then that fund is responsible for the grants. And we can only give out the grants that we have enough money for. So it's really important.
Yeah, there's also a category of designated funds. So if you have a particular organization that you have maybe worked with in the past or want to try to find a way of support through United Way, you can designate funding too. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Brian. You can designate to, especially in Kenosha County, we have an open designation policy. So any health and human service organization that's a qualified 501c3, you're able to designate on your form, and the money will then go directly to that organization, as well as one of our programs. So if you feel very strong about a United Way program, such as VITA or Readers Are Leaders Tutoring, and that's what you want to support, you can designate your money to go to the advancement of those programs and initiatives as well.
Fantastic. That makes a lot of difference for a lot of people who want to know where their money exactly is going. Gary, what would be your sort of closing sales pitch for somebody who has somehow managed to be on the sidelines for all of this and has never been part of the United Way? Why should they think about doing something about it and finally becoming part of this?
Well, a couple of things. Like, this is your community. Get involved. It's really an easy choice to get involved. It's you can't not speak up about something and then have something to say about it later. So that's important. I think focusing on the fact that a small amount of money can go a long way, keep in mind that these are grants, and as we know in education, grants come with reporting, so you're not throwing your money into a void. United Way is does a great job of making sure there's accountability in regard to funds that the organizations receive. And also, I would say, if you want to see physically what the impact of the United Way can do, on October 6th is the United Way Day of Caring in the Kenosha area here. It's a great way for your entire family to get involved. That's something that we do as a family, is we try to get out as a family and get involved. That doesn't cost you money. And you can wake up the kids, get out, and you can see the impact that a group of people can have on a small community organization. It's amazing the things that are accomplished in one day.
Wow!
In that event.
Wonderful. That was the 6th of October, did you say?
6th of October.
Very good. We should mark our calendars. Tara, any final thoughts from you on the importance of United Way?
First, I'd like to thank Gateway again for having me. Again, you've been a wonderful partner to us over the years, but I would also like to thank the Kenosha community as well, because without the collective impact of the community, we're not able to do the work that we do. So thank you very much. And that's their collective impact is shown just with the response to the Readers Are Leaders tutoring program, coming together to advance the common good. That's the core mission of United Way, and that's how the Kenosha community responded to a critical need in our community. So I am so thankful. There's no number of ways to get involved, so please contact our office, and we can give you more information.
We'll give people that phone number again, 658-4104. That's the phone number at Kenosha County United Way. And what is the address for the website?
KenoshaUnitedWay.org.
KenoshaUnitedWay.org. Tara Perasevich is the CEO of Kenosha United Way. Gary Flynn, Dean for the Kenosha campus here at Gateway. Great to have both of you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. Thank you for being such a champion for the United Way over all these years. I guess happy anniversary is in order with 35 years.
It's so important. I always use this little silly tagline, without you, there is no United Way. So the United starts with you. We need you involved, and I hope people pick up the phone or check the website out and participate in any way they can. So
Very good. Nothing silly about that at all. Really, really important. So Brian Albrecht, thank you so much. Good to have you here. We'll look forward to seeing you in October.
Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. The time is 8:52. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. And to finish out our program today, we're going to be getting some good advice from Dr. Lisa Young, a nutritionist, on the importance of portion control when it comes to trying to watch our weight. One of Dr. Young's books on the topic is called The Portion Teller, Smart Size Your Way to Permanent Weight Loss, in which she discusses how important portion size is, and how portion size has really gotten out of hand in recent years.
You know, it is amazing how portion sizes have grown so much in the past 30 years, and how people have gained weight in parallel. The average adult has gained 8 pounds beginning in the 1980s, and that is just at the same time that portions began to explode. So I realize that in treating people and in counseling people, it's not so much what they eat that they need to worry about, but it's how much they eat. And in the Portion Teller, I've devised a plan, a user-friendly visual guide to help people, A, estimate portions, and B, determine their portion personality and their eating style so that they can lose weight permanently and keep it off.
We should mention the photograph of you, which is on the back flap of your book's cover, because right there we see a perfect example of what you're talking about in terms of the explosion and the size of portions.
Oh, absolutely. You see a soda cup that is 64 ounces, a half gallon of soda, marketed for just one person that contains nearly 800 calories and 50 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm.
That's unbelievable.
Well, and then next to it, next to that double gulp from 7-Eleven are soda cups which are in descending size towards something that's a little more normal, including a you know, kind of a normal styrofoam cup at the far left. And we just kind of see right there a very graphic indication of how portion size has really exploded over recent years.
Oh, absolutely. And that styrofoam cup used to be a standard size. Now you can't find that anywhere.
The small styrofoam cups we grew up with, you mean?
Right, right. Now you don't get that. If you were to buy that in a, you know, in a restaurant or any place, you would feel gypped. You'd feel like, oh, I need to call the portion police.
Yeah, right. you know, it's interesting. The convenience store right down the road from the studio here, the radio studio, during the summer, they have a special of any size soda, 69 cents. Mm. And I'm sure many people opt for the, I think their largest happens to be 44 ounces, which is a lot of soda.
That's a lot of soda.
And because they have this one price for any of them, of course, many people will gravitate towards the largest for the sake of the bargain, even though they are doing themselves some harm.
That's what it is. We really, in America, want a deal. We want a bargain. But what we don't realize is at the end of the day, we're not getting a health bargain. We're gaining weight, and there's lots of consequences that go along with that, not just that the pants are too tight. You've got diabetes, and you've got heart disease.
Hmm. Tell our listeners about the Portion Museum, which you assembled as you began studying this in a serious way.
Oh, okay. The Portion Museum is, as I was getting my PhD in nutrition at NYU, and I was specifically focusing on how portion sizes have grown enormously. And before I started my research, it just hit me to kind of go around the streets and look to see all of the things that have gotten bigger. So I was taking pictures. I was collecting things. For example, you go to Starbucks. You want the small coffee. What do you get tall? The smallest is tall. I found bagels the size of seat cushions. I found muffins that were so enormous. Everything around us has gotten big. You know, a Big Mac, which used to be big back in 1968, is only 3 ounces. You can get a half a pound burger. Hmm. You could actually get two-thirds of a pound if you go to Hardee's. So everything I've tracked has gotten bigger, and it wasn't just one food. I mean, it was even beer cans, a 24-ounce beer can, beer bottles, and I was collecting these things, movie theater containers. It was like a horse feed, not a portion for one person. And that's what really led me to say, wait a minute, we need to educate the public not on what they eat, but on how much they eat. And the key to permanent weight loss is learning to scale back on how much we eat. And in the Portion Teller, I developed a visual program to help people with that information. I don't ask them to weigh their foods or measure their foods, because that's not going to work. But think a deck of cards, 3 ounces. Think a shot glass of salad dressing. You know, that's 2 tablespoons. It's much more user-friendly, and it will work in the long term.
Hmm. You know, that brings up to something that you call a portion distortion. Oh. That's at that point in the book when you're kind of showing us, and there's big, long, fascinating lists of what you call portion shockers, of exactly what you were talking about. And one of the consequences, you tell us, is that we lose all sense of what small, medium, and large even means. I mean, those adjectives are meaningless when it comes to something as important as portion control. And in a sense, then, your book imposes a different way to think beyond those now meaningless terms, like what's a small, what's a medium, what's a large.
Yeah, those terms are totally meaningless. And you go into a place and you say, ooh, I'll have the small or the kitty, and you think you're being virtuous. But the kitty size today is what the large used to be back in the 50s.
Hmm.
You know, it's unbelievable how much portions have grown and how our perception has then changed once we're in the home as well.
Hmm.
And that's the scary part. We're buying bigger plates, 25%. Plates have grown in size by 25%. We're buying bigger mugs, bigger glasses, and, of course, we pile more food on. And research clearly shows that we eat more when we're presented with a bigger portion.
Right. You mentioned at one point in the book two terms which we are probably a bit too sloppy with, a serving versus a portion.
Exactly.
What is the most important distinction for us to know there?
The most important distinction is everybody thinks that an appropriate amount of food is a portion, what you're served in the restaurant. But what you're served in the restaurant has nothing to do with how much you should eat, and how much you should eat is a serving.
Dr. Lisa Young's book is called The Portion Teller, Smart Size Your Way to Permanent Weight Loss. And she has written a second book since this interview was recorded, a book called The Portion Teller Plan, The No Diet Reality Guide to Eating, Cheating, and Losing Weight Permanently, published by Crown. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, we will be previewing for you a concert coming up on Thursday by a great group called Project Trio. They are actually a string bass, cello, and flute, a very unconventional array of instruments. But they are an absolutely fantastic group. And they're going to be collaborating with some of Carthage's most talented students.